The Holy Gospel is written in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 21. Glory to you, O Lord. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." Now about him spread news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I hope you had a blessed week. I hope you reviewed your 9 little issues we had last week of making sure that you are a follower of Christ. And now we have a story where Jesus is seen as someone teaching a little different than what they were used to. They were used to the scribes and the Pharisees. It's written in the book of Mark. Remember Mark? John Mark? John Mark, when you pull that book, you can think about a young man who wanted to be a missionary, to go out and spread the news and the gospel. We're not sure what. Some say it was a sickness in the family, something else, and it distracted him from going out with Peter. Peter got so upset that when John Mark was ready to go out to the mission field, Peter wanted nothing to do with him. "I'm not going to take somebody along. Tag with me on this ministry. Try to go out, and then you're going to quit." And then we have the encourager, Barnabas. Remember? Barnabas takes him alongside. And we find out later on, it would seem that Paul and John Mark get acquainted. And guess where they get acquainted? In prison. And we see it make a change even in Paul's life. Like I told you, I think it before, that in Philemon, you see a little hint that he asked the church not to make the same mistake with Onesimus as he did with John Mark. John Mark, when he writes his gospel, he writes it very quickly. Things don't take a long process to gather who Jesus is. He gets right into the meat of things, and he starts to tell you about Jesus' life. And in one of the major words in the gospel of Mark is the word immediately. When Jesus does things, it happens what? Immediately. When you found the news, the good news, and you accepted what God had done for you, you became a child of God, how fast? Immediately. You didn't have to go for 4 years of college. Get it, did you? It was immediately. When you ask for God to work in your life, when does he hear you? And we don't think that sometimes, do we? Sometimes we're wondering. But God hears us immediately. So that's a good part of the Gospel of Mark, is to know that things happen, and when they happen immediately. When Jesus healed, how long did it take for the individual to get healed? immediately. Isn't that neat? You deal with a God who deals with things immediately. If you have sin in your life and you ask God to forgive you for your sin, how long before you're forgiven of your sin? Immediately. Hold that true, because that doesn't always happen in our life, does it? We have to work for things, have to plan for things. We may have to do a series of things, but God deals with us and his family immediately. The message that Mark gives is that the kingdom of God is at hand. So what should you do if you know the kingdom and the gospel is at hand? You should repent. That was Jesus' message of the gospel, to continue with John the Baptist. The things that you learn about the Lord, the things that you learn in Scripture, ought to change your life. They ought to cause you to live differently than what your flesh tells you. Do you struggle with that? Do you work on that? Do you feel that? And that's what we should be doing as the gospel tries to give us. The area that we're talking about in the story is the synagogue. It's more of a community center area. This happens to be on the Sabbath, and Jesus ends up teaching there. And he spoke as somebody different than what they normally heard. They normally heard the scribes come. And the scribes would teach the word, and they would also quote what other rabbis might say. And Jesus wasn't quoting any rabbis. Jesus was speaking in authority, and they saw there was a difference in the teaching because you could tell he knew what he was talking about. There was a relationship that he was giving as he was speaking, and it caused their attention. Capernaum. I said, if anybody wanted to go into real estate, they could go there. There's 1,500 people at that time in the population. It was a trade route. Everybody seemed to go through it. And it was right on the lake. So if you wanted a lakefront property, it's where you could be. Fishing was the business there. And they even had these piers that used to go out into the lake. There's a lot of things that happen. In Luke chapter 7, we hear of Jairus, and he had a daughter who was sick, and she was healed. A woman who touched Jesus' garment was from that area. Jesus endured much questioning by the Jewish leaders. Jesus called this his home city. We find that in Matthew 4, Mark 2, and John 6. And today we find there was a man who was in the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. There was a paralytic man that was dropped from the ceiling, if you remember, in Matthew 9. Peter's mother was healed, and that's found in Matthew 8, Mark 1, and Luke 4. The sermons, the bread of life, of the word, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the truth and the way was all done in Capernaum. And Jesus later talks to these folks, because all that has happened and all that he has talked about and all their amazement did not change their heart. Isn't that amazing? All these works. But then I think of what has God done in our lives. When did you first hear about Jesus? When did you hear the stories in the Old Testament? When did you have Sunday school? Maybe learn some things. Maybe as you sat through sermons and sermons, what did you pick up and learn? And has it made a difference in our lives? In Calpurnium, it seemed like it didn't. It wasn't until Acts, and Peter comes to him and talks to him and brings the same thing up. Why hasn't it changed their lives? And then the people start to respond. And they ask, what should they do? And he says, get your children, get your neighbors, come and accept the work of Christ. So we don't really see a change until then. Now, it's interesting, we find this man who is in the synagogue, and he's demon-possessed. And we find that different times that Christ runs into it. But isn't it interesting, as he comes and he's teaching, what does the demon do? He asks Jesus a question. What did he ask him? Have you come? Basically, are you coming to make judgment? The demons, who were angels at the time of the overthrow of Lucifer and had followed him, know who Jesus is. They know his authority. They know that he will be the one who will cast judgment, and their doom is to come. And so this demon is asking, is it time? Is it now? It's funny, because you make a little slanderous remark in a sense, or try to bring Jesus down, because when he says, you know, Jesus of what? Nazareth. Remember, Nazareth was a despised area in the Gospel of John, when the cross, the sign over the cross says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. In other words, this is Jesus, that despised one, the King of the Jews. And then with the power and authority of his sonship, he tells the demon to leave. But the demon doesn't leave just friendly, does he? He causes the man to violently shake. He kind of like throws a fit. And that's really the demon. Later we find in other gospels that the man was not hurt, but the demon was trying to make a point. But the demon left. The amazement was not only to God's teaching, was that this one who has power over life, power over death, and power over Satan. Be encouraged, dear saint, as you're living and you're tempted, and as you see this world in sin and distress, God is more powerful. And Satan knows he will come and cast judgment. But don't be like those folks in Capernaum, that as you hear what God has done and how he's worked and how he's taught, that you don't hold on and glean on to those truths. For there is one who comes as a loving and grace for God, and one who will be judge. And we choose who we shall serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that we might realize our teaching in the Word of God, hold true to it, expound on it, be blessed by it, and go out and do your work and show folks that we are children of God. Let us not have hard hearts. Open our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.